My heart now desires to turn to You and to totally rely on You. Father, I call the Word of God. I call the anointing of God. I ask You, Lord, that You'll minister through me to Your people. Lord, that the Spirit will come and break the yoke of bondages and of blindness, and that we can truly hear what You're saying to us today. Father, I want to communicate what's going on inside of me. Only what's going on inside of me that only You and I know. But Father, I want to share this. I want to give this. I want to pour myself out that people will receive and experience what I'm experiencing. I ask You to help me. Anoint our ears that we can hear, our eyes that we can see, and our hearts that we can receive. And I ask this in Jesus' name. And I ask You to agree with me by saying, Amen. Amen. Over the past several weeks, all I've been able to hear in my spirit is prayer, 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 prayer. I can't, if you get around me long enough, that's all I'll talk to you about is prayer. I'll tell you what God's doing in me because of prayer. I've always been a person that prayed, but I've never been what I would call a prayer warrior. I've never been a disciplined prayer. And God is doing some things in me. God's changing some things in me. He's rearranging some things in me. And I expressed that to you several weeks back about my going through a wall, it seemed like, and that I knew that when I went through that wall, that I would come out of that thing deranged and changed. It'd be hard to go through a wall and not be, right? There was no door. There was no easy passage what God was calling me to do and wanting me to do and what I knew He wanted me to do, which was to become a prayer. And to grasp truths about prayer and to have a lifestyle of prayer that people would come to me and say, teach me to pray. That my children could look at my life and say, Daddy, teach me to pray. That my grandchildren, whenever they evolve, whenever they come to be, whenever they happen, will say, Granddaddy, teach me to pray. I want to be a prayer. I don't want to be a preacher anymore. I know that the preach will come from the pray. I'm just asking God to teach me to pray. And so it brought a message about that. The first message that I brought several weeks back was, Lord, teach me to pray. It was taken from Luke 11:1, where the disciples saw Jesus praying and said, Lord, teach us to pray. And many of us felt God pricking our hearts at that time and calling us into a life of prayer. Calling us, telling us to go through a wall and change our lives and become prayers. Now, the word pray that we saw at that time, who remembers what that word means? Wish. It's all right to wish to God. It is. We got to understand that we can pray, and in praying that we're wishing to God. But what I want to communicate to us is tell us that when they came to Jesus and they said, Lord, teach us to wish or teach us to pray, what did He tell them to say? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. Where? On earth. On earth as it is in heaven. We're going to pray the kingdom here. We can try to do it every other way, but it will never come until we learn to pray. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us of our trespasses, even as we forgive others, and lead us not into temptation. Eventually, what you will come to is you learn to pray, as I learn to pray, as we learn to pray, we're going to wish that prayer. That will be the topic of our heart. That will be the desire of our heart, is to see His kingdom come and to pray in that manner. And that's what I want to talk about today. That's what I want to talk about today. The second time we talked about prayer is we talked about a day in the life of Christ. It was taken from Mark chapter 1, verses 14 through 45. But in verse 35 of that passage, it says this: "And early in the morning, while it was still dark, he arose and went out and departed into a lonely place and was praying," same word for wishing there. What would you suppose that the Lord Jesus was praying there early in the morning? If you had to answer that, what would you think he was praying? "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done." Wouldn't you think so? Why do you think we call it the Lord's Prayer? Because that's what he prayed. And when people came to him and said, "Lord, teach us how to pray," he says, "Here's how you pray." And so this is what the Lord has been dealing with me about. This is the thing that the Lord has been bringing me into. What we saw in that message was that the first thing that Jesus did as he arose was what? Pray. It was the first thing. It was the first thing of importance that he found in his day. And let me say this. I'm sharing with you what's going off and on inside of me. I'm not putting condemnation on you if you can't get up in the morning and pray. Please don't hear that. I don't even want you coming on Wednesdays and Fridays here at 6 a.m. if you're coming to be seen of men. But if you're coming to have communion with the Father, and if you're coming and you're going to close yourself in your closet and join together to have this place shaken, I want you to come. But if you're just coming as a hypocrite, don't want you to come. Now, hear me right, okay? I'm not saying that hard. I'm just trying to say, don't do it to be seen of men. I want you to be released from that. I don't want you to feel like you got to go and please the pastor or please the elders. I don't want you to do it for any reason except to please Father. So, we saw first thing, the first importance in the life of Christ was that he, number one, said, "I need to pray first thing in the morning." The first part of his day, the best part, the tithe part of his day, was spent how? In prayer. The first battle that he fought every day was what? In prayer. My spirit spoke to me, and it said, "Delbert, do you know when the battle is really fought and won?" I said, "When?" I said, "When the alarm clock goes off." Right? How many understand what I just said? Man, when that alarm clock goes off, what does your flesh say? Uh-uh! What does the enemy say? Uh-uh! What is your spirit saying? Yes. Yes. The battle is won in prayer. Jesus went early in the morning and fought the battle. He pulled down strongholds and principalities. He prayed, first of all, and had a communion with Father. He hallowed the Father's name. He understood his purposes in life. He said, "Thy kingdom come." He started praying for the kingdom of God. The will of God, not to be done in heaven off somewhere, but here on earth. Amen? Then he said, "Father, give me today my provisions." How often do you think he prayed that? "Give us this day." How often would you need to pray that? Just threw that in. We'll get that later. But he prayed that, and he went, and he fought the battles in the realm of spirit on his knees praying before God. And then what did he do? He went out and did what? Healed people. Worked miracles. Raised the dead. Set the captives free. Preached with authority. But you see what I want us to see in that message, what we saw was that Jesus, first of all, fought the battle in prayer and then went and worked the miracles. We want to do the miracles, don't we? We want to have churches that has the power, but not the prayer. And what we saw last time we talked about prayer, is that you won't have power without prayer. My house should be called the house of prayer. That was the third message. You see, Jesus is in the temple and he drove out all those that were buying and selling. And he says, he cleanses the house, he purifies the house, and that's what he's doing in our lives, is purifying us. Then he says, "My house should be called a house of prayer." Then they brought to him those that needed healing and those that were demon-possessed. Did he fix them? He fixed them. "My house should be called a house of prayer." And then they moved from there into perfected praise. The Lord is calling me to prayer. I'm going to prayer. I have disciplined myself over these past 3 or 4 weeks, however long that it's been, to rise early in the morning and pray and spend at least 1 hour with Father every day. So why an hour? It takes me that long. It takes me that long. How would you like it if your kids never talked to you? If the only time they ever come to you was when they were in trouble, or when they needed money, or they needed the car. See, I want all three of the above. What we need to learn is that Father wants to commune with us every day. So He's calling me to prayer, and not just spasmodic prayer if I have time to pray, but it's a time that I have separated and sanctified unto God. And I'm not putting you under this, and please don't hear me even saying that, because I'm not. It's what God is saying to Delbert. It's what God is calling me to. It's where I'm going. And I ask you to have patience with me and put up with me until I go through this wall and God works the changes in my life. Now, what we're going to be looking at today, if you'll turn with me, is Matthew chapter 6. And we've already read the parallel to Matthew chapter 6, which was Luke 11 and 1. And that's where the disciples came and asked the Lord Jesus to teach them how to pray. And the parallel now is in Matthew chapter 6, is what we call the Lord's Prayer. Now, the title of what I'm after today is Pray in This Way. Pray in This Way. Let's read that, verses 5 through verse 15 of Matthew chapter 6. And if you pray, what? When? Oh, I'm sorry. And when you pray, you are not to be as the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners in order to be seen of men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, if you pray, when you pray, go into your inner room. When you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will repay you. And if you are praying, and when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetitions as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Pray then in this way. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Then Jesus says this, For if you forgive men for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions. The first thing that we need to point out here is that the Lord Jesus said, not if you pray, but what? When you pray. He says it three times. Verse 5, verse 6, and verse 7. So the thing that I hear was, Delbert, it's not if you get a chance to pray today. It's when you pray today. I know that I need to pray. There's no question about it. I need to pray. The second thing that I saw is that I am not to be as the hypocrites. Now, I've done that. I've done this. I have prayed. I've come up here many Wednesdays and many Friday mornings and went in that office, gathered together with the men that would come and pray just so they'd see me there and wouldn't talk about me. And they'll talk about you. You don't come. If you didn't come in there, you were talked about. And I knew it. Especially if you're the pastor, you know, you're supposed to be here, guy. And I'd come. I didn't want to be there. I want to be at home in my warm bed. That's truth. I was just coming to be seen. But I'm not there now, Danny. I'm in another place. I set my alarm this morning for 5 o'clock because I knew that I had to prepare and get ready to come and share with you, which is I normally get up at 6 on Sunday morning. I got this morning at 5 just so I could spend an hour in prayer with Father. You see, it's no longer something I make myself do. You see, now I want to do it. I'm going through that wall and my heart's changing. My heart is where the issues of life come from. An issue of life to me now is praying. I feel like it's so important that I need to begin my day with it. It's so important that I need to put on my armor before I go into the world. I need to ask for God's kingdom to come into my life, my wife's life, my children. I ask Him to guard our church, to guard our members. I ask Him to bring His kingdom to our region. This isn't the region of the enemy. Is that right? This is our region. Has God given us the land? God has given it to us. It's ours. So I'm not having to make myself anymore. It's something that I desire to do. Now, on Wednesdays and Fridays, we come here, and again, I pray, and I pray loud, and my wife got after me this past week. She says, Delbert, I can't pray when you're praying that loud. I said, well, honey, I'm sorry. I just get into it, you know. See, prayer is militant, and I come militantly. I can enter boldly before the throne of grace to find grace to help and win in time of need. I know, you know, but I understand what she's saying to me. We kind of got in a fuss about that, you know. I repented. Because I understand what she's saying to me. She said, I can't pray. I just stick my fingers in my ear and pray. But I love it now. It's an issue of life to me. I've seen some things start happening, and it's just wonderful. But he says, don't be like the hypocrites. Don't be like the hypocrites. So I release you folks. If you feel like you have to come on Wednesday mornings or Friday mornings just to be seen by me, please don't. Let God deal with your heart. It's got to be an issue in your life. You're just bringing a bad spirit in here if you don't want to be here. Do you know what I'm saying? Are you hearing me correctly now? I want to say this right because I want you here. I want you to understand that, but I'm not going to get mad at you if you're not, because I want it to come out of your heart, not out of your mind. And there's a difference. The third thing that he says is go into my inner room. Now, Kitty, this morning I immediately thought about you. Kitty told me one time that when she first got saved, she didn't know anything, and she read this, so she went into the closet, took out all the brooms, closed the door behind her, and got in there and prayed. Isn't that right? She literally did that. Now, I don't think that's what you have to do. If you want to, that'd be perfectly all right with Father. But I think what he's after here is letting you know that it is a private, alone time with him. He wants you so desperately to get alone with him and not come before him with a bunch of men just to be seen of men, but to have communion, closed communion with him. Amen. I really believe that's what he's after. His principle here is that prayer is a private, alone time with Father. Amen. Now, does that do away with corporate prayer? Of course not. Acts chapter 4, verses 24 through 31 talk about how they got together and they prayed, and the place was what? Shaken because of their prayer. And then we read again in Acts chapter 12 and verse 5, the people were praying for Peter. They were corporately together in the house praying for Peter. So it doesn't do away with corporate prayer. But what Father is saying is, man, I want to spend some time with you. Pray to Father. Have some time with Father, which is the next point. Point four that I saw. He says, pray to Father, not to Jehovah, not to Jesus, and not to the Holy Spirit. I get in my inner room. Let me go back, regress just a second. I have a place that I pray. There is a place in my home that is my place to pray in the mornings. I go and I pray there. Jesus had a place. He says when he came to the place, he there knelt and prayed. When he came to the mountain of prayer, okay? There's a place that you will come to that will be your place of prayer. I have a place of prayer. But also, I want to bring this into another realm. I need to get into my inner room. I need to get into my spirit room. Amen? I want to get in there and pray. That's what I'm really after, is praying in my spirit. Praying out of my spirit to the Father. And he says, to the Father. So Father wants to... What is Father? Father is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. He wants communion with my spirit, my inner room. And I need to get in that inner room and shut the door and have communion with Father. So that's what we're talking about here. The fourth point was pray to Father. Now, prayer is communion with Father. And please remember this, prayer is not trying to twist God's arm to get Him to do something for us. Right? He knows what we need when? Before we pray. What prayer is doing is allowing Him to minister to me so that my will become like His will. So that kingdom will get in me. So that I can bring the kingdom to the earth. So that the kingdom of God, I will be a vessel that God can flow through. Prayer is communion with Father. That's what we have here. Now, what I wrote here was of what I've already said. He wants communion with us. Father wants communion with us. And tonight what I'm going to talk about is hallowing the name of Father. Not hallowing the name of Jesus and not hallowing the name of Jehovah. I want us to understand that He says when you pray, you are to pray to Father. We need to understand the Father principle. We need to understand that it's to Father and that we need to have communion with Father. I like my kids to talk to me every day. Every day. I don't like them just to come to me when they need $20 or they want to do this or they want to do that or they got a problem. That's not what I want. I want them to commune with me. I want to impart into them wisdom. Father wants us to commune with Him so that He can impart into us His will, His kingdom, His wisdom, His ways. That's what prayer is. Amen. Are you with me now? Am I communicating this point? Good. Now, the second thing that I noticed here, that was point A of number four. Point B is, we are confused with order and importance. We have confused order, God's order, with importance. Now, we pray to who? Father. We pray in the name of Jesus the Christ. And we pray in or by or led by the Holy Spirit. We have Father and Son and Spirit involved in our prayer lives. Okay? Now, is one of those more important than the other? But is there an order? Are you hearing me now? There's no more importance of the Son than there is the Father. But is God the head, or is God the order of the Godhead, is He first, but not more important? Now, let's bring this to our home, and I think it'll help us. I just want to interject this. What is the order of the home? The man, the woman, and the children. Is the woman any more important than the man, or the man more important than the woman? No, but what is God's order? Okay, are you hearing this now? That's God's order. That's the way He does it. Who was created first, the man or the woman? The man. We can't do anything about that. That's done. That's God's order. It's not that the ones that are more important. Was Eve more important than Adam or less important? None. But God's order. That's how He moves. That's how He blesses us. That's how we're to pray. God's order in prayer is simply that we pray to Father, we pray in the name of Jesus, we pray according to the Holy Spirit, led by, guided by, and in the Spirit. We pray to Father. And tonight we're going to talk more about hallowing the name of Father. I want us to see something about Father. I want us to grasp the truths about Father. I've been studying Father, just going through the Bible, just looking at what Father does, and it's amazing. God's order is Father, pray to the Father, in the name of Jesus, and by the Holy Spirit. Now, number five, the fifth point, is pray in this way. Jesus said, pray in this way. King James Bible says, pray after this manner. Now, I want to read what I wrote this morning. Of all the books ever written about prayer, of all the teachings and seminars about prayer, nothing is written or been said that is more instructive and pertinent than what Jesus Himself teaches in these verses. How many has ever read how-to books about prayer? I have. Don, I know you have. We've all read how to pray. But is anything that we read or is anything that anybody can tell us more pertinent than what Jesus said? How many believe Jesus knew how to pray? Could He reach heaven? Could He get in touch with Father? He says, man, if you've seen me, you've seen Father. He knew how to do it, and He knew how to pray, and He knew how to reach Him. And He says, now here's what you do. When you pray in this way. How many want to learn to pray like Jesus prayed? Don't we? I want to pray like Jesus prayed. I want to understand what we're saying here when he says, pray then in this way. Now I can pray better and I can pray longer. I've learned this. If I pray according to his way. And you're saying, now all of a sudden now you're trying to put, I'm not trying to put anything on you. I'm just showing you what's going on in me. 8 years ago, I was teaching a Sunday school class in Griffin. And the Lord led me into a study on prayer. And at that point in time, he opened up to me this passage. And I saw that it wasn't to be mimicked. It wasn't just to be quoted over and over. 66 words, you can say them in 22 seconds. Because just before that, he said, don't pray in vain repetition. What I saw is that what the Lord has given us here is an outline to pray. And as I learn and am learning to pray in this outline, I find out that everything that I need to pray for every day is somewhere in this outline. And as I go through it, then I'm led by the Holy Spirit, praying in the name of Jesus, there's something that I'm coming into, somebody that I'm praying for, that I wouldn't have prayed for if I had not used his outline. Example, week before last, I really got in prayer for John Taylor. I really got in prayer for John and Linda Taylor. I knew they were having warfare. I knew they were going through some struggles. And I knew this guy's about to give up. And I called him. John, how you doing? Oh, man, I'm discouraged. Am I right, John? Is that right? See, the Lord just led me and guided me because I was praying in or by or led by the Spirit of God in my prayer time. And Father just allowed me to start interceding for John and praying for John. This past week, Bo and Kitty got on my heart. I was praying one day for them. And I just really got into it. I said, God, you know, just wanted to bless them, Father. I just know they're going through a hard time. They're having some things right now. They're warring. And I talked to Bo last night, and God's just starting to bless them. And I'm wanting us to say, I feel good now because I've got an order to pray in. I used to kind of pray, well, I'll pray this today, and if I have time a little while later, I'll pray. And you know what I usually ended up doing? Not praying at all. Amen? Well, what is happening now in me is that it's the first thing that I do, and I'm using this manner. I'm praying in this way, and I'm praying for people that I had never prayed for before. I'm calling the kingdom of God into people's lives, and that's not difficult to understand. What is the kingdom of God? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the what? Holy Ghost righteousness, Holy Ghost peace, and Holy Ghost joy. And I'm starting to call that into people's lives and homes. And it's been exciting. And this is what God's doing in me. Now, I can't pray better or I can't pray longer, and I probably can't pray at all if I'm not using his guidelines. Because here's why I want to say that. Let me clarify. In the Old Testament, in the book of Leviticus, the high priest was instructed how to bring forth the sacrifices and offerings, wasn't he? He was instructed by God as to how the offerings and the sacrifices were to be offered to the Lord. Now, if they weren't offered in the prescribed way, if they weren't offered correctly, were those offerings and sacrifices accepted? No. They had to be done the way God wanted them to be done, in God's order, such as you need to pray to the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you need to pray led by the Holy Spirit. Now, we need to understand that. So in the book of Leviticus, the high priest was to instruct the people how to offer sacrifices. Who is our high priest? And how did he say pray? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Are you hearing me now? Now, again, I'm not trying to put you in boundaries. I'm not trying to put this on you. I'm showing you what he's showing me. He's taking me through a wall. He's taking me through something. He tried to quicken it to me 8 years ago. And now mighty men of God, such as Dr. Larry Lee in Dallas, Texas. Men of God, such as Yonji Cho, 500,000 members in his church today. By the end of 1995, he's going to have 500,000 more. Is that what God told him? Or something like that? What I'm saying is that there are mighty men of prayer today. And they're praying according to God's way. And all I can hear is pray like this, Delbert. If you'll pray like this, you'll pray for what you need. You'll pray according to the way the high priest says to pray. And your prayer will be heard and ministered to. Delbert, are you saying that because I don't pray according to that way that's not my prayers aren't being answered? I don't know. Are they being answered? All I know is what God's saying to me. Says, Delbert, pray in this way. Now, 8 years ago, I was praying in this way, sharing a little testimony. Sitting at our kitchen table, we had our first home that we'd ever had. I worked on the third shift. I come home, and I was sitting there, and I was writing about prayer. I was letting the Lord help me and show me about prayer. And I saw this, and I was praying at that point in time this way. It quickened to my heart to pray for a boy named Fred Ufford, who had leukemia. Yeah, it's not Fred Ufford. No, Fred Ufford lives up here. Fred Buckless, who had leukemia. And notice that I said had leukemia. He says, my spirit says you need to have communion with him. I was studying at that time, give us this day our daily bread. And the Lord quickened to me about communion and having communion, the bread of life, with Fred. And so I put it off. I wanted to go fishing that day, and I went fishing. But later on, Fred came to me that next Sunday morning. And he says, Delbert, he says, you guys got to do something for me. He says, I'm coughing up blood. I'm dying. And he was dying. I said, Fred, God spoke to me this week about you. I said, I want you and your, were they married at that time? Loanne, Leanne, whatever. I said, I want you to come to the house. So they came to the house, and we had communion. Lance and Bonnie, and Judy and I, we had communion. I've shared this before, but this is when I was praying like this. And so I put hands on Fred, and I started ministering over Fred, and started prophesying over Fred. Fred must have weighed about 100 pounds. He was dying. And I put hands on him, and I started prophesying over, and I started prophesying 120, 130, 140, 150 pounds, says the Lord, 160, 170, 170, 80. I got 200 pounds, and everybody started laughing, saying, whoa, whoa, whoa! You know how much Fred weighs today? 200 pounds. Healed of leukemia. I was praying in this manner. See, these are the things that the Lord is starting to bring back to me and show me again. And mighty men of God that are preaching praying and teaching praying now are ministering to me. My spirit's hearing some things that I've shut out and I've put out. And I just want to tell you what's happening inside of me. Jesus says, pray then in this way. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Tonight I want to look at that. Tonight I want to look at hallowing the name of the Father. I was going to get to it this morning, but I knew that I wouldn't when I got to this point this morning in preparing. But tonight I want to talk about hallowing the name of Father. Not hallowing Jehovah, not hallowing the name of Jesus, and not hallowing the name of the Holy Spirit, but hallowing Father. What does that mean to hallow the name of Father? I want to talk to you tonight about that. I want to talk about how we come before His presence with what? Thanksgiving. And we enter His courts. We enter His courts with what? Praise and thanksgiving. Hallowing His name, separating Him. Father, You are something else. You are something else. I come before You, our Father. How am I made an hour? By the blood of Jesus. I can come boldly before the throne of grace because of the blood of Jesus. I am brought into the household of God. I'm an hour. He's a my Father. Now do it now in prayer. And I want to share with you what our Father means. What He showed me that it means. The second thing He says to pray is, Thy kingdom come. And Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Today, every day, I pray for the kingdom of God to be done in my life. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost in my life. Then I pray for my wife. Then I pray for my son. Then I pray for my daughter. And I'm praying for my son-in-law and my daughter-in-law. I don't have them yet, but I'm praying for them. I'm praying for my children every day. And I don't have my grandchildren every day. And I don't have them yet, but I'm praying for them. And I'm blessing their womb, and I'm blessing my daughter's womb, and my daughter-in-law's womb, and I'm blessing my son's loins, and I'm blessing my son-in-law's loins. And I'm led into that, and I do it every day. Then I pray for His kingdom to come in this church. I pray for my pastor every day. I pray for the leadership in this church every day. I pray for you. And I can't remember all of you every day. You know I can't, but I lift you up corporately, and then spasmodically, just as I've shared with you earlier, He brings specific people with specific times and needs into my life. And I pray for you. And then I pray that the kingdom of God will come in this region. And I command the east, the west, the north, and the south to give up what belongs to the kingdom of God. We're going to look at that. Not tonight, but we're going to look at it. How many knows that's working? Would you visitors raise your hands, please? Just all you visitors. First time, say, this is maybe the second, third time you've been here. First, second, third time. Would you raise your hands? See there? Look around. Folks, it's working. You guys are being prayed for. Kevin, I was praying for you. Thy kingdom come. This is not the region for the kingdom of darkness. I want you to know this region belongs to God. The earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof, the world, and those, everyone, all that live in it. This belongs to God, and I'm praying that now. I'm praying for our president every day. Pray for God's wisdom, God's protection, and God's joy in his life. Amen? The joy of the Lord is our strength. Do we want a strong president? Amen. Does Peter say, pray for the king? This works, folks. I'm just wanting you to know. I'm not trying to put it on you. I'm just showing what God's doing to me. It works. It works. It works. I was going to Dalton the other day to get some carpet for this new platform. It's called the new platform now. Hour I had, spent it in prayer, just talking to God about every leadership, every member of leadership, every one of, every elder and every deacon. Members of leadership, pray for them specifically. Pray for their wife. Pray for every child that they had. Pray for the grandchildren that they had. And the grandchildren that they'll have. Call them by name. Thy kingdom come. How many wants a church that has the kingdom in it? And Jesus Christ went about preaching and teaching what? The kingdom of God. The third thing, give us this day our daily bread. Now, I've always had problems asking God for things. But when it's right here in the Word, I don't have too much problems with it. I ask, I seek, and I knock. I'm such a blessed man. I am blessed. I don't have to have much. God's so blessed my life. I've sought first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and He's given me things. But our church has something now happening inside of it, happening to it, and I'm asking God to bless us. I'm asking for $100,000 this year and $100,000 next year so that all of our indebtedness can be relieved and so that ministries can be added to minister to the people. So that I could covenant with men to rise every morning at 6 a.m. and pray together, not right down here, but in their homes, in their place of prayer, in their closets of prayer, so that we can seek God and find His will for this church. Amen? Give us this day, Father, what it's going to take to do what you want done. Give me the provisions. Forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. I walk in forgiveness every day. I investigate my heart to see if something didn't happen somewhere along the way that a seed of bitterness could have got in there. And if there's a seed of bitterness that got in there, it'll turn into a root of bitterness. And then I've got a problem. But I walk in forgiveness, Father, every day. Now, if there's somebody that's hurt me, that's wounded me, that I have not forgiven, Father, please quicken that to me. Let me forgive it. I don't wait to come here and have communion. You know, I'm ready to have. I have looked. I have made sure that nothing's happening inside of me. Because I understand the principle. If I don't forgive, He can't forgive. If I don't forgive, how can I say that I love Father and yet hate a brother? You see, I walk in forgiveness and I go through this every day. I'm cleansed. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. How many want to be delivered from evil? Don't you? Well, Ephesians 6 tells us to put on the armor of God so that we can stand in the evil day. Every day. Now, and again, you're going to say, well, my goodness, that's legalism. No, it's not. I love it. Let me tell you what I do. I gird my loins every day with truth. Who is the truth? I put on my breastplate of righteousness every day. Who is my righteousness? I shod my feet with the preparation of the gospel who every day. Who is the gospel? I pick up my shield of faith every day. And I'm doing this in the spirit, but you ought to see me. You'd laugh at me. You would really laugh at me in my home. I'm arming myself. I'm putting my stuff on. Everybody's got some stuff, right? I'm putting my stuff on. I pick up my shield of faith, which is able to quench all the fiery darts. Not some of them. All the fiery darts of the evil one. He's got some offensive weapons. And you know what He's given me to quench them? My shield of faith. Who is the author and the finisher of my faith? And about that's what I'm doing about that time, Danny. I'm starting to do this. I put on the helmet of salvation. I pull it down over my mind. Who is my salvation? Put on Christ Jesus. Put on the new man. Take up now the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. I'm not just armored and I'm not just protected from the devil. I want you to know that I've got something to kill him with. Amen? Amen! And I do it every day and I love it. John Holloway come up here and he used to tell us to do that. Man, I ain't doing that. You know, I'm protected. You know, I'm in the body. But I'm telling you what, by the time I get that sword, you would laugh at me. I was sharing this with Steve Allman, and Steve was telling me yesterday, he said, I got yesterday morning and prayed. He said, the time I got to the sword, man, he said, I was swinging it to the east, and I was swinging it to the north, and I was swinging it here. And you just do that. I mean, you're not just a weak little Christian, folks. I want us to know that we are the army of God, that Satan has put under our feet, and we're going to do it how? By prayer. Pray, thy kingdom come. Lead us not into temptation. I will stand in the day of evil. I'm armored with the new man. Lead us not into temptation, for thine is the kingdom. Whose kingdom is it? It's his kingdom. I just thank him that I'm a part of it. That he's translated me from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of his dear son. He's let me play a part. He's shown me my purpose. He's allowed me to minister to my generation. And I start weeping about now. He says, "It's thine is the glory." Whose glory is it? It's his. But he's changing me from glory to glory. He's going to have a glorious church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. And I'm a part of that, Danny. I keep talking to Danny. Why am I talking to you so much? I'm a part of that, Don. Look over here a little while. It's his glory. It's his power. Thine is the power. There's a power that's come in my life in the last 3-4 weeks that I've never experienced before. I've tried to overcome by fasting. I've tried to overcome by the Word of God. And all these things are necessary. And please don't hear me wrong. And that did its work. And that did it in part. And the Word washes me. I hear a lot of stuff from people, counseling sessions and things that get on me. And I wash myself with the water of the Word. But folks, I want you to understand that I've never experienced what I'm experiencing right now in my life. There's a power. There's something working in me that nothing else has ever been able to do. It's his power. And he can give it to who he wants to. And I say, Father, I want your power. I want your power, Father. I want your power. Not just in my life, but I want to be able to put hands on people and see them healed. Signs shall follow them that believe. I believe that's going to happen. So I asked the Lord this morning as I was preparing, and I said, Lord, how do I close this service? Because I really wanted to do Hallowed Be Thy Name, but it just didn't go that way. And he just gave me James chapter 5, and I want you to turn there, and I'm done. I want Michelle and I want David to come up to the, and Linda, I want you to come to the piano, keyboard, and drums. James chapter 5. How many would be honest with me today and say, Pastor, I really would like a stronger prayer life. I really would like to spend more time with Father. I really would like to learn more about prayer. Is that you today? Man, hands, yes, everybody. Just lift your hand and give a wave offering to Him if that's really what you're after. Your heart's really calling you to Father in prayer and wanting to understand what prayer is about. And we're not trying to twist your arm, Father. We're trying to get in line with your will. We want to see your kingdom, Father. James chapter 5, verse 16 says, Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. And this is what I want. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. The King James Bible says, availeth much. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous person can accomplish much. When I wanted an effective prayer life, I came to the place in my life where I wanted my prayer life to accomplish something. I was doing it to be seen of men. And I come to the place in my life where I wanted the Lord to teach me to pray. And I've opened my heart and my spirit to Him. And I've asked Him to teach me. And I ask you to pray for me as I go through my wall, and I ask you to call the Word of God to me, and I ask you to call the anointing to me. That's what I want. I want the preach to come out of the pray. But I want you to call it to me. He said, I'll send my word, and it'll accomplish that which I send it forth to do. He sent it, and I want you to call it to me. In Psalms 47:1, and this is the way now, I want to end today's service, because I think something's happening in us. I think we're victorious. Do you feel victorious today? You feel like we're coming to a place where we're fixing to punch darkness? Psalms 47:1 says, oh, clap your hands, all you peoples, and shout to God with a voice of triumph. Notice that the shout is associated with the triumph. And I believe we've triumphed this morning. I do. I believe that God is ministering to us, and He's putting us line by line by line, and He's bringing us to a place where we're totally triumphing in Christ. Now, what I want to do today is I want to end this service with a shout. Now, I just read you the scripture, so is it scriptural and biblical to end the service with a shout? Amen. Clap your hands and shout unto God with a voice of triumph. So what I want David to do over here on the drums is just to kind of give us a drum roll. And I want Michelle and Linda just to kind of build us up a little bit. And then I'm going to count to three, and we're all going to shout. And I'm going to be in this microphone, and I'm going to pull it up about like this. And if you're not shouting, you know, you won't be reverberating something back at me. And I'm just going to be coming at you. And I want you to shout.